Welcome, everybody, to another very special episode of Between the Trenches. Mitch, my good friend and co-host of the show, myself, Dwayne Turner, and joining us once again, Kyle Enright.
Happy to be here. Fantasy football.
Well, you just stole the show right there, Kyle. We're going to be talking some fantasy football today because, you know, we've covered all the division previews. We've even had a current events episode. We've even previewed who we thought was going to win certain awards. So we figured, why not talk some fantasy football? That's what a lot of people like nowadays, and some people even value it more than the actual games themselves.
Absolutely. It brings something to watch for in the games. You know, if your team's not playing, you can still cheer on. It's something to keep your eye out for. I think, you know, sometimes it goes a little too far with fans harassing players based on their fantasy football performances. But, you know, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to fun stuff today. We got some real special for you. We're going to give you a mock draft. We're on a mock draft. Join a mock draft on Yahoo or on NFL.com. We highly recommend that you do that before your own fantasy draft to get your skills sharp. And we're going to give you our thoughts on, you know, how we draft our teams, maybe where we rank certain players. It's tough to do this all at once. So we're going to give you a little taste of what it's like to do a draft, which is, you know, probably the most important part of any fantasy football player's season.
Absolutely. So, Kyle, where are you slated in the draft right now?
Yeah, so right now, I'm just looking at it. We have Mitch in second. I'm in seventh. And Dwayne bringing up the rear with the 10th pick. Now, in seventh, that's actually, in my opinion, that's the best position to be in because you don't feel obligated to take one of those top five running backs. You can have a little bit of play. You know, Gronk might be in play. Also, Andrew Luck and or Aaron Rodgers will be there along with maybe Antonio Brown. So you don't have to feel compelled to go running back in the seventh slot.
So who are those top five running backs you speak of?
Those top five running backs would be, I would say, you know, definitely Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, last year was incredible for him. I think for sure Jamal Charles, Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, and I think C.J. Anderson is going to crack that top five. C.J. Anderson. You know, he was pretty impressive for Denver. And with Peyton Manning, you know, another year older, he's 39 now, that noodle arm kind of starting to become a little bit more prevalent. You could see Denver kind of changing their identity a little bit. And with the impressive season that C.J. Anderson had last year, he might get a lot of touches.
I have to disagree. I would be right off the top. You know, I got a short list of players here, guys not to touch. And it's not anything against C.J. Anderson, but it's the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos, every year the past 2 or 3 years, seem to have a stretch of a running back who's just unstoppable. So that was Sean Marino for a little bit, C.J. Anderson last year, Juwan Thompson for a little bit, Ronnie Hillman's been in that spot. I just think that's a rotating door. With your top five picks, you know, I think with the injury now of Jordy Nelson, Eddie Lacy becomes a legitimate top five pick. I had my questions about taking a guy on a passing team at running back, but you know those running backs, you got to get a running back early. He's going to have a big year. He's going to get lots of chances anyways. So, you know, you don't want to take your guys, your favorite players ahead of where they should be picked. I think that's a big problem that comes a lot with a lot of casual football fans coming into fantasy football. They want their guys, but that's not how it works if you want to win your league. So, try and take best player available, but you got to take a running back early on. Our mock draft is just loading now.
That's right.
So exciting
Get
happening. We had a 10-person league here. So Dwayne's got that snake pick, which is a very interesting. You know, that snake pick at the 1 or the 10 spot is always, you know, a different draft because you're picking two at once.
And it was funny, Mitch, because I remember when we had our class draft, you didn't seem too happy that you got that snake pick at the end.
I didn't. Now,
what was your reasoning for that?
Now, my reasoning for that is we had a 12-person league, and I was a little worried that at 12 I wasn't going to get a real first-round talent. Now, I was able to do that. I took, in that particular draft, at the 12 and 13 spot, I took Matt Forte and Dez Bryant, who I was absolutely astonished. Either one of those guys are there. But you know what? Sometimes picking at that 10 spot, you have that opportunity to take not only a player that maybe the rest of the league missed, but one of your own guys as well. I think that's, you know, kind of a kind of a the New England Patriots way of drafting things. Wait till the end of the first round and take who everybody else missed. And now we got about a minute 30 here to the start of the draft. Like I mentioned, I'm drafting second. And I feel like I'm in a good spot here. We have Adrian Peterson going a lot of the first, but
one of the things I wanted to mention just about this about the draft this year is the wide receiver depth. I mean, the depth at wide receiver this year is incredible. I mean, with, you know, you have Dez Bryant, you can go Demaryius Thomas, you can go Odell Beckham, you can go
Alshon Jeffrey
is going to have a big year. Julio Jones, probably the best receiver in the league right now.
Just signed a big contract.
You have Calvin Johnson out of nowhere. I mean, the thing is, though, I think Calvin Johnson might regress just a little bit.
He seems to be sliding.
Seems
now.
Like he's kind of on his, he's hit his peak and he's kind of on his way down, although he did have 300 yards receiving in the game.
He's past the age of 30 now. It's hard to keep a big body like that.
And the young up and comers like Mike Evans, the T.Y. Hiltons, the Jordan Matthews of the league.
Yep.
You know, lots of young talent. Randall Cobb.
Golden Tate, even.
Golden Tate. DeAndre Hopkins, we were talking about on the earlier show. So the wide receiver depth is absolutely amazing this year. And I feel like, you know, you really can't go wrong with drafting a receiver in the first round, but if you can't grab a receiver in the first round, if you can take a running back, there's lots of receivers to grab in the later rounds.
Absolutely. I almost recommend, you know, get a running back in the first two rounds even, because wait a little bit on that receiver. You always want it. It's nice to have a top-end receiver, mm-hmm. but in a lot of leagues where you have three receiver spots, maybe a flex spot, you'll be able to find good players later in the draft. Absolutely. Running backs, not so much.
And the draft has begun.
Absolutely. Here we go with the first pick.
Adrian Peterson's going off the board here. I got to assume. Unless you always run into those, they can call them draft snakes, where they're then there and they try to take a kicker in the with the first pick in a mock draft just to sort of screw it up. Hopefully we don't run into that.
I hope not today. And there we go. Adrian Peterson goes with the first pick. So Marshawn Lynch, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell on the board. Now, I got an easy pick here personally. I'm going to take Le'Veon Bell. Now, he's suspended for the first two games of the season. That doesn't worry me, not even a little bit. And I'll tell you why. The first 2 weeks of the season are a crapshoot for the whole league. Who wins games? Who does well fantasy wise? So I think I can make. I'm not worried about having him go.
Marshawn Lynch was just taken.
Marshawn Lynch, another good pick. I'm not worried. I would have my first pick be Le'Veon Bell.
Jamal Charles just went off the board as well. So right there, out of the gate, those top four running backs that I mentioned are now off the board, leaving Eddie Lacy and the other running back. And Eddie Lacy just goes as I'm speaking. So obviously now we get into those wide receivers with the two other running backs that could be, you know, first round, early second round talent being Jeremy Hill and C.J. Anderson. But right now it's a real plethora of wide receivers along with Rob Gronkowski.
So you're up next here. You got another pick, another 10 seconds here to your pick. Who are you looking at right now? You got Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, Rob Gronkowski at the top of the board there.
Well, if Antonio Brown sticks around, for sure it'll be Antonio Brown. And as he goes off the board.
As you say it.
Right now, I know, what am I thinking between? It's between Dez Bryant and Julio Jones, to be honest. And I think Julio Jones is destined to have a bigger year than Dez Bryant because there is no number two option, really, on Atlanta.
That's true.
I love the targets that Julio Jones is going to get from Matt Ryan. So I'm going to go ahead and take Julio Jones seventh pick.
I like that pick. He's looked very healthy. He's had a couple bad years, a couple injury-prone years the last couple seasons, but he's looking very good. You know, I think I'd still go Dez there. I agree that, the receiver core is definitely stronger in Dallas, but he is just so aggressive. He's such a special talent. I think Julio Jones presents more of a home run threat where Dez Bryant can really do anything. And there goes Andrew Luck, the first quarterback.
I was kind of thinking about taking him.
The eighth pick. Hey, we've seen a lot of that going on. I think you took Andrew Luck. DeMarco Murray, running back. See that running back? You know, DeMarco Murray has the potential to have a real good season. Now, Dwayne's got his back-to-back picks right now.
Right now, all right, guys, I think this is what I'm going with. I'm going with.
Now, if you don't take one of these guys, I'm going to be shocked. Oh,
MVP.
Aaron Rodgers off the board.
Dwayne goes Aaron Rodgers with the 10th pick.
Dez Bryant.
Now, there's a guy. I don't think that was an easy pick, the Dez Bryant. If you can get Dez Bryant in the second round, take him. Take him. Don't even think about it.
So Mitch, you mentioned it. We've been seeing a lot of that lately with the two quarterbacks going in the first round. I don't personally like taking a quarterback in the first round. As I'm up here, I'm going to go ahead and take my main man, Rob Gronkowski. He's still hanging around at the 14th pick. But just back to what you were saying, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are they're going to put up big numbers. I mean, you look at a guy like Eli Manning, who's definitely not going to go in the first four or five rounds. But he's got great receivers on his team.
For sure.
And will put up big numbers. He'll put up big numbers. You can grab him in the sixth, seventh, maybe eighth round. So, I mean, Andrew Luck obviously is a superior talent, but we have been seeing a lot of that recently where you have, you know, your
I think this year there's more than any we see, there's the top two. There's Luck and Rodgers, and there's everybody else. But you're absolutely right. You can get guys like Ben Roethlisberger later on. He's going to have a big year.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Eli Manning, like you mentioned. Now Tom Brady reinstated. I think, you know, you can get him late. He won't and if you can get guys to surround him, he'll be fine because he's kind of that consistent force. Hasn't been a big fantasy stud week in, week out.
The last two running backs just went, Jeremy Hill and C.J. Anderson. So those are kind of the top, the cream of the crop of running backs. Now we start to get into, like, the Justin Forsetts, the LeSean McCoys, Lamar Millers. We start to get into
a lot of those guys are gamble guys.
Yeah, and I'm on the board here now with got two of the next four picks. And like I said, Le'Veon Bell taken in the first round. I'm actually going to go ahead and take Alshon Jeffery right here.
Okay.
I think Jeffery, with the injury to Kevin White, and the what we've seen out of Jeffery in his first couple seasons, he's going to have a big year. I think easy 1,000 yards, easy 10 touchdowns for Alshon Jeffery, barring injury. Now, we've got a little bit of a snake here. Yeah. Somebody just took Houston defense with the 20th pick, and that's too bad. But we'll see how it goes. That's for, looks good for me. I've got one pick here now till my next pick. A.J. Green, Randall Cobb, LeSean McCoy on the board. I think LeSean McCoy is getting devalued a lot. And now that Tyrod Taylor is going to present kind of a mobile option, that read option game in Buffalo just got a lot better.
Yeah, we just had another defense taken, the Green Bay one, which is not great. I mean, when you join these mock leagues, you just never know who you're going to get into these with.
Absolutely. So. You're never going to get as good a team as you draft. Now, I have an interesting predicament here. A.J. Green on the board, but I'm going to take my man Randall Cobb. With the injury to Jordy Nelson, I just trust Aaron Rodgers. Your guy, Aaron Rodgers, you just took him. Now, Kyle, I know you're a big Bengals fan, but what do you think of A.J. Green this season?
So A.J. Green is he's kind of an interesting story. I mean, he's been in the Pro Bowl all 4 years. He's been in the league, entering his fifth season. But one of the big things that I think helps a wide receiver in this league is to have a number two guy. And the Bengals haven't had a number two guy since they had Chad Ochocinco and Terrell Owens or TJ Houshmandzadeh. They haven't had a definitive number two. I mean, Mohamed Sanu has proven that he can do some things. Marvin Jones has shown a little bit of pop. But A.J. Green, I mean, you know what? I hope he has a good year. But as I'm on the board here, I'm looking and I got LeSean McCoy, Justin Forsett, T.Y. Hilton, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks. I'm going to go ahead and take DeAndre Hopkins actually with this pick. I'm going to reach a little
I
bit
like
for him.
No, that's not a reach. I don't think so.
But he is going to be an absolute stud for Houston. I mean, he is the number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 option on that offense. And with Brian Hoyer, who actually can be a gunslinger, he's got a good arm. I like DeAndre Hopkins' chances to get around, you know, 1,300 yards receiving, something like that, and about 8-9 touchdowns.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a top 10 receiver this year. Just in looking at his talent and the fact that he's got absolutely nobody else around him, he's making these circus catches in preseason. Somebody made the point if DeAndre Hopkins was in New York, we'd be talking about him like he's Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
The plays that he's made, you know, he doesn't have that Sunday night best catch ever signature, but he's got some pretty close ones.
I mean, playing
last
Houston,
year he did have probably maybe the best catch of the year, but it got disallowed off a holding penalty. He had a crazy one-handed 50-60-yard catch.
Yeah.
He's a special talent. Now, Dwayne, you're on the board here.
Yeah,
again.
So I'm on the board right now, and I already have my quarterback. I have my number one receiver.
So it's running back.
So running back has to be what I target here. I have the snake pick, so I do have the next pick as well. So I'm going to go with – oh, it's a tough one.
Justin Forsett.
Oh boy!
So Forsett gonna get the load of the carries in Baltimore. They've lost Torrey Smith. I think he's gonna have a big year if he can keep the momentum he had going. Now
I think I'm gonna reach here, and I think I'm gonna go with Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde, not a bad
guy. The number one back in San Fran.
That's right.
Absolutely. He's gonna, you know, he's a guy that's going to get a lot of carries, a lot of snaps.
And you look who he's tag teaming with Reggie Bush. I mean, Reggie Bush is very injury prone, right? So you're looking at Carlos Hyde probably getting the majority of the carries in San Francisco, especially with Colin Kaepernick, the way that he can struggle throughout the year throwing the ball. Look for Carlos Hyde to be a real bell cow.
Now, there's a guy at the top of the board right now on the Yahoo list, Latavius Murray. I have a problem with this. Now, you may remember Latavius Murray from the Thursday night game last year where he up Kansas City.
Thursday night.
And now, if you look back at his season, though, he had 6 carries that game. On a Thursday night game, I've been as the season goes on, you guys will really hear how much I detest the Thursday night football. And it's because it's a crapshoot. The teams don't have time to prepare. Now, Kyle, you got the pick right here. I'll let you. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take. It's going to be a bit of a reach. You guys are probably going to make a little bit of noise here. I'm going to go ahead and take Jimmy Graham.
Okay. Ooh.
Double up the tight ends with Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham. Now, Jimmy Graham in Seattle, new home. Russell Wilson. The thing about Russell Wilson is, yes, he likes to scramble. But one thing that, you know, he didn't really have last year was that tight end presence to sit down when he's rolling out and catch it in the zone and be able to make a play. He's got an athletic tight end in Jimmy Graham who knows how to route run. He has great hands, and he can jump up for catches. Russell Wilson can throw that ball up in the end zone, and he'll be able to make grabs.
I don't have a problem. I think Jimmy Graham should be rated higher, honestly. I do have an issue. You did take Gronkowski in the first round. You got to be careful with that because a lot of leagues do not allow you to play 2 tight ends.
Sometimes they have them in the flex position.
Absolutely. I got my pick right here. Now, I've taken 2 receivers and a running back so far, so not a lot of running backs left. I'm kind of forced to take your man Carlos Hyde still on the board here.
Something ended up happening, and I ended up having to take Lamar Miller. That was a mistake there.
So I'm going to take Mark Ingram here. Got to fill out that running back spot. I still have my quarterback to go, but I think, you know, I think I can get a guy a little later on. 2 picks to go, and someone just popped up on my screen who's going to have a big year at the bottom. Wow. Now,
Peyton Manning just went off the board, guys.
Absolutely. Now, remember, this is the picker that's taken right now is also the one that took the Packers and the Texans early on. So,
gotcha.
Peyton Manning off the board, and then right there, Ben Roethlisberger. So, someone's just trying to ruin our draft. But I'm going to take Greg Olsen right here. I think Greg Olsen, we talked about it on the last show. Kyle, you brought it up. This guy's going to get a ton of targets. He's the only legitimate established threatening receiver that the Carolina Panthers have. And I believe he's a top 3 target this year, you know. Gronkowski 1, Graham 2, and Olsen 3. And with the Kelvin Benjamin going down, Jimmy Graham may – and the Seahawks asking Jimmy Graham to block, reportedly. Greg Olsen could be a really big player this year. Kyle, you got another pick here.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, I don't have a running back on my team or a quarterback, which is okay. You sort of, like I mentioned before in the show, I'm at that position now where you can wait a little bit because there's lots of rookie running backs that are coming in. I mean, right now I have my eye on Amir Abdullah in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to be a stud. Joseph Randall, I mean, obviously he's in Dallas. And he has that, three-headed monster that they have in Dallas there. But I'm going to go ahead and take Amir Abdullah with this pick. He's Detroit's rookie running back. He's definitely going to steal carries from Joique Bell, who's been injured. Amir Abdullah brings youth. He brings pop. He brings a lot of bounce into that Detroit offense. And with Matt Stafford being kind of unpredictable in the passing game sometimes, it's nice to have that security blanket in Amir Abdullah, who also proved in preseason that he can run and catch the ball. So, I think Amir Abdullah, you can be safe with that rookie pick. I don't think you're going to miss on him.
Absolutely. He's looked phenomenal in preseason. And he's a guy that did it all at Nebraska in college. He had a couple crazy, win the game himself plays. Also a returner, good all-around pick. Dwayne's back on the board.
Okay, so I'm back with my snake pick, and now I'm going to take Carlos Hyde, who I think is going to have a really productive year in San Francisco. I mean, he's the number one back there now. And with the next pick, I'm going to take somebody who not a lot of people are talking about, but I think could have a decent year, and I'm going to take Allen Robinson, wide receiver
stud
from Jacksonville.
Stud in Jacksonville.
Because when you think about it, everybody else seems to be either hurt or has already left the team. And I think Blake Bortles, I could see – he's – I know we don't want to put a lot of stake on preseason, but he's looked pretty good in preseason, and I think that will be his number one target, especially now that their big prize free agent
Julius Thomas,
also, their tight end.
By the way, their highest paid player.
Okay, there you go. He's going to be missing at least a month because he had to undergo surgery. So,
and he's a lot of question marks about him. You know, a lot of people saying that Peyton Manning was the source of his credit early on.
So I'm on the board here, and I'm going to go ahead and make a lot of noise and go ahead and take that man, Tom Brady, who's still sitting on the board. Welcome back to the league, Tom Brady. But, Dwayne, I did just want to mention something that you were talking about just now. Who, Allen Robinson, he has a case of, I guess I'll call it no lights, which means he plays on Jacksonville. They don't get any primetime games. They're always playing in the 1 o'clock slot. Not a lot of cable television. Not a lot of people get to see this guy. But he made a lot of noise last year. If he didn't break his foot, he would have been well over 1,000 yards, probably had 8 or 9 touchdowns. I know I had him on my fantasy team last year, and he was one of my best players, and it was really sad to see him break his foot because he was having a breakout year.
Kyle, what was that phrase again?
No lights.
No lights? We might have to steal that for the between the trenches.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins runs into that same problem, right? I mean, in Houston, not a lot of people get to see that offense. And, you know, the guy's putting up, you know, 1,200, 1,300 yards.
Especially where he's got, you know, he's got J.J. Watt playing the other side of him.
Exactly. He's overshadowed.
J.J. Watt is an attention magnet.
Right.
Absolutely, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, one of those guys kind of unknown. Now, I'm on the board here. I've got quarterback still to go and a wide receiver. Now, I think I can wait a little bit for a quarterback. So I'm going to take a guy who's going to be a number one target in San Diego this year, Keenan Allen.
Ah.
He sets a lineup in this slot. And, you know, Phillip Rivers has been so used to looking towards Antonio Gates kind of down the middle. Keenan Allen moves to the slot this year. I think he fills out that role. And once Antonio Gates comes back into the lineup, that's going to be a really hard matchup for especially safeties and nickels, inside defenders to match up against.
Now, Mitch, I was going to ask you, I have a classic case of quarterback and receiver on the same team with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. What are your thoughts on having a quarterback and receiver play on the same team? Obviously, you run into the bye week problem, but you know, you do double up on points when you have a receiver and a quarterback playing on the same team.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I'm about to make my second pick here. And match who I just take, Phillip Rivers, going off the board.
Mm.
And that's a great point because I think that is huge. You add, you know, a Dez Bryant in the first round, Tony Romo becomes so much more valuable. And honestly, I wouldn't have taken Phillip Rivers in most circumstances. But getting Keenan Allen, getting that double touch, especially the touchdowns, you can get a player who's going to be in the end zone a lot, hook up with their quarterback. You know, those are huge plays, and I absolutely agree. That's a great strategy to have. You know, I would go as far as a guy like Tony Romo, who's kind of that bubble fantasy starting quarterback. If you've got a Dez Bryant, he becomes a legitimate starting quarterback. And
I'm on the board here, and I'm going to go ahead and take hopefully a running back who can have a bit of a resurging year. And go ahead and take Doug Martin.
Interesting.
You know, a terrible year last year, a really down year. Obviously, Mitch and I both know that Doug Martin holds a special place in my heart due to some past fantasy inconveniences. But hopefully, you know what, Doug Martin, he's looked really good in preseason, maybe with a new offense, a new quarterback. You know, maybe he can find some of that rookie form that he was in when he rushed for 1,400
Kyle,
yards.
So why Doug Martin over Alfred Morris?
You know what? That's a good question. I think with Alfred Morris, I think the most you're going to get out of Alfred Morris is he'll put up his, you know, 800, 900 yards, and he'll probably average about 3.5 to 4 yards per carry, maybe be good for about 4 or 5 touchdowns. With Doug Martin, he has that home run ability that I don't think Alfred Morris has anymore. For some reason, he's lost it. But Doug Martin has that ability to break off, you know, a 65, 70-yard run, and it will be a touchdown. Alfred Morris, the speed isn't there. As with Doug Martin, and I think Alfred Morris, you know, still a solid pick, especially in PPR leagues. And now with Kirk Cousins back there, you know, Alfred Morris in no way is a bad pick. But I think Doug Martin just has a little bit more upside.
So, Dwayne, you're on the board here. You get Sammy Watkins with the 70th overall pick. Sammy Watkins is a stud. Talent-wise, he should be going way higher than 70th. Probably slides down there because of the quarterback play in Buffalo. And now you take
Kyle Rudolph.
Now, you scoffed at a pick earlier on. What was that?
Which one? Was it yours?
No, it was somebody went off the
board
there. And you were a little disappointed.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's no secret, obviously, that I'm a huge Philly fan, and I really wanted Zach Ertz. I know he's dealing with some injuries right now, and he's questionable to start the season with that. I believe it's a hip or something like that. But, yeah, I think that he's a guy who, you know, people projected him to break out last year. This is the year I think it was going to happen, especially with Sam Bradford hopefully staying healthy. So it's a shame that he went off the board so early, but Kyle Rudolph is no slouch. I think that paired with Teddy Bridgewater for a full season, I think we're going to see the Kyle Rudolph that people were, you know, enamored with not too long ago.
And you made a
I'm going to go sorry guys, I'm on the board here. I'm going to go ahead and take a rookie who I am super high on. I took him in my league the other day. And I'll take him again here. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. Over 1,000 yards for rookie season. Philadelphia's Nelson Agholor.
Yes.
Big like fan that. Of Nelson Agholor. I mean, I reached a little bit for him there. I mean, we have Jeremy Maclin, Jarvis Landry still on the board, Eric Decker, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith Sr. Obviously all quality picks, but I think Nelson Agholor with that youth, the speed, and the Philadelphia offense with Chip Kelly, I think his upside is just so much bigger than all of them.
Now Nelson Agholor is interesting, especially considering who's on the board. Agholor is said to be kind of a replacement to Jeremy Maclin. Jeremy Macklin's on the board. He's going to be the number one in Kansas City.
And you said it right there. He's the number one in Kansas City.
Now, I love Jeremy Maclin. He has looked out. He's played with Andy Reid's systems before. He's the best receiver that Alex Smith has ever had. So in that mind, I think what I've seen in preseason, I hate reading into preseason, but he's looked awesome in preseason.
I think he's
going to have 1,000 yards, and this is going to be my kind of my pick of my dark horse pick of the year. But I think Jeremy Maclin is going to finish as a top 10 receiver in this league in terms of yardage and catches, maybe not touchdowns, because you'll still see Travis Kelce and Jamal Charles get those red zones. But Jeremy Maclin is going to provide a huge lift to the Kansas City offense that they just haven't had before. Now I'm back on the board. I'm filling out my bench now. And somebody's kind of, you know, for a bench player, this is somebody that I really am looking forward to taking, Todd Gurley. Mm. This guy was an absolute monster. His highlight films some of my favorite pieces of football to watch. He's not going to start the season as the number one back in Kansas City.
But he'll take over that job very soon in St. Louis.
But he will take that job early. And they took him 10th in the draft. Now, there's kind of a rule, don't take running backs in the first round. He is an exception to that rule. Still a couple guys on the board. Alfred Morris, like you mentioned, still on the board. Jonathan Stewart, Andre Ellington. I think all those guys are legitimate running backs. Jonathan Stewart's going to be the number one back. And not split carries. It's an injury thing with
that. That's the problem, yeah. We just don't know if he can play 16 games.
Well, I held out for this guy, and I'm going to take him right now.
I think I know who it is.
Mr. Jarvis Landry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Jarvis Landry is, you know, one of the dynamic trio from LSU with Odell Beckham and Jeremy Hill. He had a great year last year in that slot spot for Ryan Tannehill, definitely becoming that security blanket, that Julian Edelman-style player. And I think, you know, his upside, again, is just tremendous in Miami with what they're doing there. That team is definitely on the rise. Definitely look out for the Miami Dolphins this year.
And he's a guy who could easily have 100 catches. I mean, a lot of people are saying that, like you said, him playing through the slot.
Yahoo's projecting him, and our projections mean nothing, but Yahoo's projecting him to get 925 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, that's a solid year for a second-year receiver.
I think he'll improve on both of those.
He'll be the number one guy there at the end of the season in terms of targets, catches, yards. You know, Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker are on odd picks in Miami. Those are both deep threat receivers, and Ryan Tannehill has not been known to be a deep threat guy. He didn't match up well with Mike Wallace. And the other guy they brought in was Greg Jennings, who's older, knows that Joe Philbin offense. So you just took somebody, Dwayne, here. Now, two picks.
Back-to-back, my snake picks.
Steve Smith Sr. and Alfred Morris. Now, Steve Smith Sr., again, another guy. He's going to be the number one receiver in Baltimore.
This is last year, too.
Last year, Steve Smith Sr., he's a guy who...
He's ageless, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. He's ageless. And I think we mentioned this before. He's the kind of guy who doesn't need motivation to start off a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday night. And just the fact that he already announced that this is going to be his last year, I just see him going off. And like you said, he's really the only other option with Perriman, their top draft choice, ended up... he's going to miss significant time.
Absolutely.
So there's really
you never want to count on a rookie to do too much.
Right. And, I mean, Flacco does love his tight ends, but Steve Smith, he's proved very reliable, especially in his first year in Baltimore.
I think offensively Baltimore may struggle this year, but I wouldn't expect Steve Smith's numbers to drop because he's going to be that workhorse.
And I also, just to mention, I also picked Alfred Morris to fill out some of my bench as well, who, to be honest, to be able to think that I got him so late, what was that, the round 10, to think that I got Alfred Morris in the 10th round is kind of shocking to me. Kyle pointed out some legitimate facts about him, whether or not he should be taken as high as he's, you know, projected. But look, with the possibility of the Washington offense floundering, I know you don't like to hear that, Kyle, because I know we know how high you are on them, especially early on. But he's somebody I think they're going to be leaning on. And you know what? Despite everything else, he's been a pretty productive and pretty consistent for what's been a turbulent
So with my pick beforehand, just like about a minute ago, I took TJ Yeldon from Jacksonville. TJ Yeldon, I think, has the appeal for most fantasy owners to be a touchdown machine. Maybe not going to be the guy who rushes for over 1,000 yards, but he could be that guy that gets 12 touchdowns in a year just because he's such a beast on that goal line. I mean, obviously it's Jacksonville. It's going to be tough for them to get to that goal line, but if he ever gets there, I mean, definitely look for him. I mean, you know, 10 yards to the end zone, you know, going to be a real beast. He's a real bulldozer. Definitely a good rookie pick and one of the top backs for sure.
You know, he's a guy that's had, you know, his speed was so dynamic at Alabama that he's had a little trouble, you know, getting himself worked into the passing game there. But absolutely, he's got a lot of potential. They like Denard Robinson as a running back there, but he's not a power option. They have Toby Gerhart and Bernard Pierce kind of competing for that power role. I just had a couple picks there. I took, to fill out my bench a little bit, Rashad Jennings from New York, who's set to be their number one back.
Right.
They're going to have a bit of a rotation there. I really like Shane Vereen, not so much as a fantasy perspective, but as a football player, what he's going to do for the Giants there. And then I took Charlie Johnson, a running back or a receiver from Minnesota, who is set to be maybe their number one option. Had a really strong breakout year. He's looked real good. He's kind of been Teddy Bridgewater's, like Kyle Rudolph's been a security blanket. Charles Johnson has been that way on the outside. Kyle, you just took Gio Bernard.
No shot.
Yeah,
there.
That's the pick that I was about to take him.
I like Gio Bernard, but it's just unfortunate that his career was really robbed by Jeremy Hill. I mean, obviously, there's no, you know, feud between the two of them. Jeremy Hill's just a better back. I mean, Gio Bernard has that, you know, Darren Sproles type of game where he's very, you know, bouncy, going very east-west, whole different element of the running back position. Jeremy Hill is that bruiser between the A-gaps tackle, between the A-gaps running back that you want on your team. I mean, he's, you know, put up 1,000 yards last year.
You know,
yeah,
they add two very different dynamic elements to a team. Mm-hmm. But from a fantasy perspective, yes, you're right. Gio Bernard's production numbers are probably going to take a hit. Dwayne, again,
yeah,
your back-to-back picks.
My back-to-back picks, I took Tevin Coleman, who you remember we spoke about. My offensive rookie of the year. He's a guy who, coming from Indiana, who rushed for over 2,000 yards and who's going to immediately impact
also,
that Atlanta offense.
Remember that when you rush for 2,000 yards in college, you do it in 12 games, not 16.
Exactly. And against the likes, we spoke about this, against the likes of the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
So
he's
that's exactly. So I think that he's somebody who's going to impact that Atlanta offense right away. And then after that, I took, let me just double check here. I took Michael Floyd, who, you know, he's not confirmed to be able to start week one. I think he's dealing with a finger injury or something like that. But he's a guy who is probably the best end zone target for, or red zone target for Carson Palmer when the two finally link up. I you know what? I think he's probably their most talented wide receiver when he's healthy. I know. I think
John Brown adds, a different element in terms of speed, but
exactly.
All around in terms of absolutely,
so
is their number one guy.
He's a guy who I could easily see going for over 1,000 yards and at least and double digit touchdowns. So to get him so late, I think is.
Now it's been interesting. None of us have taken a kicker or a defense so far.
Yes.
I've got two spots remaining on my bench. And this is something that I do every time. I don't know about you guys, but I like to take my kickers and defenses late. There's a lot of good ones out there. I'm on the board right now, and I'm going to take a guy that I'm really high on later in this year, especially for fantasy football playoffs, Antonio Gates.
Mm.
Now, I drafted Philip Rivers as my quarterback. So now I've got his two top targets, something that I try to do. Gates is a guy that has been going very late. He's going to miss the first month of the season, but later on in the season, that's going to benefit him a lot. He's going to get a break. You know, he'll be fresh come October, and he's going to do a lot of damage. He's still Antonio Gates. Blocking-wise, he's lost quite a bit, but as a receiver, he's one of the best. Now I'm back on the board to fill up my last bench spot, and I'm going to take a guy who could be, have a big year. He's going to miss the first game, Garrett Blunt, as a running back. You know, he's a power back. That New England offense, that defensive line, that goal line group, you know, he's their guy. He's one of the more powerful runners in the league. He's going to miss that. Like I said, he's going to miss the first week, but no worries. That's just 1 week, and he's on my bench.
Okay, so as Sam Bradford is just taken, I'm just wondering, what do you guys think about taking a second quarterback?
I think in a 10-team league, there's so many quarterbacks that you don't need to worry about it for now. And if you, for the 1 week, barring an injury, that you need a quarterback, I think you can find one in the free agency pool. Yeah. Now, with my last pick here for my bench spot, I'm going to go ahead and take Arian Foster. I mean, he's sitting there. We know he's injured. We know he's going to miss the first probably 4 to 6 weeks. But when he's healthy, I mean, he's one of the top, if not the top, fantasy running back. So if you can have a chance to put Arian Foster on your bench, if you have running back depth like I do, you know, and you can plug him in week 7, week 8, like Mitch said, when you're going towards the fantasy playoffs with Antonio Gates at your tight end, you know, it could mean big things for your fantasy team.
Absolutely. Okay, so Dwayne's back on the roster. Now, Dwayne, do you have bench spots open there?
I have one last one, and I'm going to use it for Dorial Green-Beckham.
Whew.
Really high on this guy. I think that we were kind of talking off air. Kyle mentioned it, that he's like a poor man's Calvin Johnson. I mean, he's got
the
build.
And he's also a rookie, so he may be Calvin Johnson. We don't know yet.
Exactly. So he's a guy who could easily develop into Marcus Mariota's number one option in Tennessee. And I'm just excited to see what he does. And here I am with another pick. I guess since my bench is filled out, I can look at the defenses here. And kind of what I did with the other fantasy draft that we had amongst the class, I'm taking the Baltimore defense. I think that, you know, they lost some big names. Helody Nada is not there, but Jimmy Smith is healthy. He's going to be playing alongside Ladarius Webb. And look, they're a team that finds a way to just reload and always draft ahead. So they have the players on that defensive line and in the linebacker core to be able to make up for his loss. So.
Absolutely. That Baltimore defense is very, very sound.
Right.
You know, it's kind of tough to measure. You kind of want to take into account special teams when you draft the defense a little bit. And they've got, you know, they've lost Jacoby Jones as a returner, but I think those return touchdowns are almost, I look at those as bonuses anyways. A lot of defenses, you know, off the board here, and Kyle goes with his favorite, something we kind of
Cincinnati defense, boys.
Yeah, we said not defense to do this, but Kyle's going with it.
You know what? I know it's not like, you know, I know there's certain parameters about taking your team's, you know, quarterback, your team's defense, and all that sort of stuff. But Cincinnati's got a top five defense. I mean, they only got better. They got rid of Terrence Newman, but they've allowed Adam Jones to really prove himself as a top corner. And they added A.J. Hawk in the linebacking crew. Vontaze Burfict, who led the league in tackles 2 years ago, is healthy. Geno Atkins, coming off an ACL injury, is healthy. Michael Johnson, who was on the Bucs last year, is back in Cincinnati. So that defensive line with Geno Atkins, with Michael Johnson, Carlos Dunlap, Domata Peko, I mean, that's a scary defensive line, and their defense is always in the top 10 in sacks. So I like Cincinnati's defense if they're available for you.
So I just took Kansas City defense as my guys. I really like what Kansas City is going to do this year, especially from a fantasy perspective, where they have Tom Bahali and Justin Houston as a sack machine. You know, Justin Houston's led the league in sacks, or been a top three in the league in sacks the last 3 years.
Came close to the sack record last year.
Yeah, Eric Berry is also coming back, and that's going to be really huge.
Right.
And with the last pick, I guess I'll take a kicker. My guy's still on the board.
Mitch,
I like to do it. I like to take my guy, Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, okay.
Every year, the 50-yard man, the Polish kick boy, or whatever you want to call him. Another guy. You get a little extra points for those 50-plus yard field goals. So a lot of strategies you can go with when taking a kicker. Really take one with a good offense. Take one that's known to make a lot of kicks. Kickers are kind of hit or miss. Every now and then you'll get one who'll have a four or five field goal a week, and you'll feel real good about it. But hey, kickers are never rely on your kickers for too many points. Kyle, you got your last pick.
So my last kicker, I'm going to do something with a guy who has a little soft spot in my heart for me here. Caleb Sturgis from the Miami Dolphins. Now, the only reason I do that is because last year, Caleb Sturgis had a 36-yard field goal on Monday night, and if he would have hit it, I would have made the playoffs.
Oh, no.
And he missed it, and I lost by less than a point. So Caleb Sturgis,
that's rough.
It was tough pill to swallow. But I feel like I'll give him another shot on this mock draft team.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we do these mock drafts for, see, you know, who you're going to take when the lights are on. And now Dwayne's got the very last pick of the draft.
And
lots of kickers on the board.
With Nick Novak.
Nick Novak, good pick. Hey,
you know, San Diego, they're a high-scoring team.
He's a good, solid kicker.
Exactly. I really wanted Cody Parkey. I know you said not to take any of your team, man. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with Cody Parkey. He's probably going to be one of the
higher-rated.
I
should clarify that rule. You can take the players that you like. Just don't take them. Just try not to overvalue them because you like them. I guess that's a better way to put it. Go ahead. Take the players you want. Hey, I took Mark Ingram. Took a Saint. I don't really like Mark Ingram particularly, but from a value perspective, that's where you really, you know, make your money in fantasy football is getting guys at good value spots. You know, if you can say maybe I got Philip Rivers, I wouldn't be too excited about Philip Rivers being my fantasy quarterback every day. But considering where I drafted him, that's fine by me and the rest of the roster. So now that we've got our final roster sorted out, why don't we take a look through? What do the final products look like?
All right, Mitch, why don't you start us off?
So like I mentioned, starting quarterback, Philip Rivers, no backup quarterback. Receivers, Alshon Jeffrey, Randall Cobb, Keenan Allen. On the bench, Jeremy Maclin, Charles Johnson. At running back, Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram, Todd Gurley, Rashad Jennings, and LeGarrette Blount. And then at tight end, Greg Olsen and Antonio Gates. I feel pretty good. You know, like I said, I'm not real excited about Philip Rivers as a fantasy quarterback just because sometimes, you know, he'll do what it's necessary to win, which is handing the ball off from time to time and letting your defense really win games. But Alshon Jeffrey, Randall Cobb, these are both guys in the same kind of boat. Even Keenan Allen, they're missing their counterpart. So they're going to get higher target numbers. The more targets, the more touches, you know, just probability-wise, the better you're going to do. And Le'Veon Bell, you know, I'm going to miss him for the first week. I can play Rashad Jennings in there because LeGarrette Blount and Todd Gurley on my bench also are not going to play the first week. Something that I, right now, probably should have looked at. If you're going to take one of these top guys who isn't going to play the first bit of the season, draft the guy behind him. Now, Dwayne, how's your team shaped up?
Okay, all right. So at quarterback, I have Aaron Rodgers. My three wide receivers, starting wide receivers, are Dez Bryant, Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins. Then for running back, Justin Forsett. It's Lamar Miller for now, but it would have been Carlos Hyde, so that's who would be starting alongside Forsett. Tight end, I have Kyle Rudolph. My kicker is Nick Novak, Baltimore defense. And on my bench, it would be Lamar Miller, Steve Smith Sr., Alfred Morris, Tevin Coleman, Michael Floyd, and Dorial Green-Beckham. And I got to say, I am actually quite high on this team. I kind of wish it would be a substitute for one of the other teams I've already drafted.
You should say that when you do mock drafts, your real teams will never be as good as the teams you mock. Because of people coming in and making bad picks or, you know, picking double quarterbacks, double defenses early. So we should kind of stress that don't be incredibly disappointed if the team that you draft doesn't look as good as the team that you mock. Kyle, how did you do?
Pretty well. So I'll just say first off, Tom Brady, if you can grab Tom Brady, grab Tom Brady. Because, I mean, the guy is coming into this season with such a chip on his shoulder to just really stick it to the NFL. I think this is going to be a career year for Tom Brady.
Where's the optimal spot for him?
I mean, I got him in the fourth round. I think now that Deflategate is over, I think you're going to start to see Tom Brady go in the third round.
Interesting.
I know a lot of people. I mean, really, if you think about it, after Luck and Rodgers, really, it's Brady and Manning and Russell Wilson. I
got to
think.
I've got to say, I have my doubts about Peyton Manning this year.
Yeah.
Not from, I think he's going to start the season off well. it's the end of the season, and that particularly worries me in fantasy football because that's when your playoffs are. Yeah. You know, he started to trail off starting around week 12 or so the last 2 years. You know, week 14 is when you start your playoffs generally. That's not, you know, if you're used to Peyton Manning carrying your team for a lot of the regular season, it can be hard to substitute later on. So that's my kind of warning about Peyton. He says he's in better health than he was last year. He was dealing with injury for a lot of the end of last year, but he's 38. He'll be 39 by the end of this season.
Yep. So to continue on, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and Nelson Aguilar at the wide receiver position. Amir Abdullah and Doug Martin. A little bit questionable at running back, but I like Doug Martin. I think he's going to have a resurgence year this year. And I haven't played in a fantasy league that does not have a flex spot. So the reason I drafted Jimmy Graham was because of a flex spot. In this particular mock draft, there isn't one. But doubled up on the tight ends with Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham. And then on the bench with Jarvis Landry, TJ Yeldon, Gio Bernard, Devontae Parker, and Arian Foster to wrap up my squad. I think you can't go wrong with TJ Yeldon, and I don't think you can go wrong with Jarvis Landry. I think Jarvis Landry is definitely one of the biggest steals of the draft. If you can get Jarvis Landry, the slot receiver from the Miami Dolphins, at any point in your draft, definitely go for that. He's going to have a great year, definitely over 1,000 yards, I think, and potentially 7-8 touchdowns from Ryan Tannehill.
He's going to get a lot of looks. That's what you really want, you know, as a fan. If you're watching these games, you want your guys to be getting the ball in their hands on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Get them in rhythm. Those are the kind of – that's where I would say it value the highest is how many times they're going to touch the ball, and then how many times they're going to touch the ball close to the red zone.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys that you can look at that do that. You can kind of find later on those red zone guys, those red zone specialists. A guy like LeGarrette Blount, who I took as, you know, the last spot on my bench, you know, he'll be that number one goal line guy. I think, you know, this year we're starting to see quarterbacks kind of get quarterbacks going at different spots. You said Tom Brady in the third round. And I think it kind of depend on – I can see that happening, but I almost wouldn't want to do that because there's still a lot of really good players you can get in the third round and get a guy like a Phillip Rivers or even, you know, injuries are one thing, but Sam Bradford to me looks like if he's healthy, he'll be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Because if you look at what the Eagles have done the last few years under Chip Kelly without a real quarterback that's fit into what they're doing, this guy fits perfectly not perfectly. He's not the best runner.
I hope so.
But as a passer, you know, he's the ideal passer for this kind of system. Right. So if he can stay healthy, he tore up some of those preseason games.
Right.
We don't want to read too much into that again, but, you know.
Mitch, you mentioned the fact that, you know, your fantasy draft, your fantasy team is never as good as it looks or never as bad as it looks from the very get-go. And let's face it. I mean, a lot of these teams, they're going to change drastically. Injuries are going to happen. People are going to lose their spots. They're going to be not as productive as they were a season before. Things are going to happen to shape these teams differently. So, yeah, I wouldn't be going out looking for blockbuster trades or trying to look on that free agent wire right away. Just, you know, take a deep breath, take a look at your team, and then, you know.
There's a lot of times you're going to look at a team and you're like, geez, this is not a good team. And after week one, you know, you got Eddie Royal in your team. Eddie Royal always has a good week one. And you feel a lot better. So, you know, absolutely. Don't jump into any trades. I wouldn't suggest ever jumping into any trades before week one. At least let your first week play out. And let – because one thing, you know, if you've got a little bit of depth at a position, don't be too worried about shipping it out because guys are getting injured, especially running backs. I think that's one position where if you can stockpile a few running backs, you can make up for it and trade later in the year and get the guys that you really want.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time that the NFL is always, always, always changing. I mean, you look at last year with the Adrian Peterson thing. I mean, how many happy people were there out there getting Adrian Peterson with the first or second or third pick, and all of a sudden he's gone for the entire year.
Exactly.
I mean, now we look at Tom Brady. A lot of people weren't even drafting him, and I mean, now he's, you know, now he's playing week one. So if you're looking at your team and you're kind of thinking, oh, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about that, the NFL is always changing. There's always a next man up. There's always an injury. There's always someone who comes out of nowhere. I mean, we saw it with Dallas, with Ogletree a couple of years ago. He had two touchdowns on the opening night. You know, so you can never, you know, you can't control the NFL. You can't control what goes on.
A guy that you mentioned earlier this episode as one of your favorites, C.J. Anderson, he was nobody drafted him last year, and now he's a stud. So, you know, there are going to be guys like that that are just going to emerge. And just be ready. I think the one thing that you can make a mistake is not checking your lineup, you know, not being, you know, not checking your waiver wire. Always give it a
don't
look.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Nobody likes that guy in the league who's, who's starting Adrian Peterson last year in the last week. So don't be that guy, you know. Try to resist your overvaluing your favorite players, but have fun with it. You know, each pick is like a new game. Don't get too caught up in your picks early on.
Oh, and something I want to mention. Do not focus so heavily on the projections you're going to see week-to-week basis. A lot of people will just automatically assume that because, say, this player is getting 10 points and the other guy is getting 5, I got to start the guy who has the 10 points. Don't focus on that.
Look at matchups. Matchups are everything.
Exactly. If you want to really look into it, I don't want to get too technical, but just look, for instance, if you have a running back, if he's going against an opposing running defense that has been struggling all year, that's the running back you want to start. You don't want to start it off of the projection. So.
And if you have a hard time tracking these things, remember, we're available on Twitter, on Facebook. Hit
that's
us
right.
up on Twitter, at Between Trenches, or on our Facebook page. So throw up a comment, you know. We'll try and get back to you as quick as possible, and don't worry about it. This is fun for us. This is no burden. We like helping you out. Don't hold us to anything too closely. You know, not everybody's perfect. There's going to be some surprises. That's why we watch the games, right?
Exactly.
So there again, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like we said, we're going to have some big things coming up once the regular season starts going. We're going to try and get to 2 episodes a week. This is going to be a fun season. I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks again, Kyle Enright, for joining us today on our fantasy football
very, very
special.
Very, very fun. Good stuff.
And we'll have you back on the show, hopefully, later on in the season.
When the Bengals are 5-0. Off to a quick start.
Okay, buddy. All right. Well, again, like Mitch said, for Mitch, Kyle, and myself, it's been a great episode 11. Can't wait to talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
Nobody!